Thank you. That is a beautiful gift to God and gift to the congregation. So thank you very much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given us, for the gift of faith, for the gift of music, for the gift of love, for the gift of discipleship. As we hear today the witness of those that have been to Brazil, open our hearts and minds so that we may see your glory and we may see where the evidence of your kingdom is. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The very first words in the story of creation in Genesis deal with light. And you're going to hear that concept of taking the light as you hear the witnesses today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. When John began his gospel, he began it with the understanding that Jesus was the Word and Jesus was the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then when Jesus was teaching, he made this very personal, because he looked at his disciples as he looks at us, and he said these words, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You have heard our children's sermon, and now you're going to hear from four members of the British mission team, the Brazilian mission team.
Good morning. Let's try it again in Portuguese this time. Bom dia. You did great. Good job. Thank you for the privilege of sharing God's love and your love in Sao Paulo last month. My name is DB Wright, and I traveled with an incredible team who, by the way, are evidence of the kingdom. We went to work with Laura and Felipe at the Lighthouse Ministry. We carried to Sao Paulo with us his love, and we carried your love, and we carried your generosity. That love was also evidence of the kingdom. This was my second trip to visit and work with the wonderful people that are served by this ministry. I must say that there's an excitement that prevails heading in for the second time. Last year, I was admittedly pretty nervous, but this year, it was just pure excitement. The difference between the 2 years for me was that the connections that we made last year and that we shared last year were not forgotten. Evidence of the kingdom was all around us during our time there. Let me tell you a little bit about how seeds planted to start relationships and friendships last year were watered and continued to grow this year. We arrived at the retreat center midday on Thursday, and we were with the children by that evening. There was genuine joy, again, another one of those fruits of the Spirit, so evidence of the kingdom, in returning and seeing how much these beautiful children of God had grown, how much they had learned, and how much they had flourished over the past year. Two examples are Luis, who at 14 is almost a man now, and Anna Clara, who had grown and matured so much over the last year. Don't get me wrong, life is not easy for them, but they are always joy-filled, and joy is, again, evidence of the kingdom. They were as excited about our return as we were. As we reintroduced ourselves, they pointed to the wall behind them at our handprints that we had done in paint on the wall the year before, recognizing each of our, as we said our names, they would point to our handprint written in English and say, you were here last year. So talk about feeling welcomed, and we thought that was our job, but we failed miserably. They made us feel far more welcome than we were able to make them feel. You may remember that one of the things we need to do when we get to Brazil is to walk through the favela or the slum. And we do that with Felipe, mainly to let the gang leaders and drug lords know that we are part of his team. This allows our presence and it allows our work. It also makes for a peaceful time, and that peace is evidence of the kingdom. Last year, it was just a walkthrough so that the right people could be seen with the right person. But this year, it was a little different. We were actually greeted by and shook hands with the leaders of the gang. Now, this was a little intimidating. Being part of the PCUSA, which is a connectional church, we understand the importance of working together for a common goal. Even though our lives and, quite frankly, our beliefs are very different from those gang leaders, strangely, I felt honored to meet and shake hands with these men. It took patience on my part to get there, but again, evidence of the kingdom. These drug lords and gang leaders want a better life for their own children and for the children of their community, hence their willingness to allow our work. On Saturday, we invited the moms and grandmoms to a tea. They joined us for tea, cookies, fellowship, and conversation. What a blessing this was. Sonia led an incredible conversation and lesson, reminding them of how much God loves them. One of the home visits from last year, we met Maria, and we were so happy to reconnect with her at the tea. Her kindness was evidence of the kingdom. Our theme for the lessons while we were there were about sharing God's love and shining his light. I was teaching a lesson the last night of our visit. The story was that of letting our light shine and not hiding it under a basket. The message of let your light shine was connected to our VBS theme, and of course, it was the very essence of our work in Brazil. What we wanted to convey to the children that night was that they too were disciples of Christ, and they needed to share his word and spread his love to others. It saddened me to realize as I talked to them that night that they did not see themselves as disciples. It was not because they don't believe in God, they do, but they didn't think that they were capable of being disciples. We left them with candles, the same candles that you all hold up here during our Christmas Eve service. We left them with those electronic candles, and we reminded them that that was to help them remember to share God's love and the knowledge that they do have of God with other people. That goodness and that faithfulness that they have, evidence of the kingdom. Going on a mission trip is always a learning experience. We are stretched beyond our normal comfort zones, and we must be open to what God is showing and teaching us. That requires gentleness on our part, evidence of the kingdom. For me, there was such a strong feeling of being connected to these families as I came for a second visit. This feeling was a little bit more personal, but more than that, it was a connection with each of you. As a traveler, we are just the messenger or the carrier of what you are sending to them. What a blessing you were to our brothers and sisters in Brazil. I pray that one day you can go and share that experience and that love and connection that is growing so strong. It is such a blessing. The Lighthouse Ministry hosted a weekend camp for about 10 kids a few weeks before we arrived, so the kids knew where we were staying this year. As we were getting ready to load suitcases in and on top of vans to head to the airport, We heard voices outside of our gate. I knew those voices. I literally ran to the door because I knew that it was the kids. Several of the children had walked a mile and a half from the favela, and they were going to an activity somewhere close by, but they deviated to come by and give us one last hug before we left. Now, self-control, one of the last of those fruits of the Spirit, is always needed when traveling. But that hug circles us right back to love, the first one. And that's what we felt from the children as they stopped by to give us that hug. So then traveling home with a team that now feels like family. Because honestly, Katie and Andrew were fighting like brothers and sisters. Evidence of the kingdom. What a privilege it is to be tired from work with people for whom you have prayed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Smoke, and it's been a really big privilege to be a part of this amazing team, to share your love with those in Brazil. Felipe and Laura have positioned their family in the favelas of Sao Paulo, where poverty and gang violence are systemically embedded in young lives. They've devoted themselves and their family to breaking that cycle, one child at a time. They open their doors, their hearts, and their lives to kids who the system steers to follow the wrong path. They're not just teaching Bible stories, they're showing the transforming love of Christ every single day. And I am so happy to have been able to partner with them. Laura and Felipe are evidence of the kingdom. And the kingdom is growing. Luis is one of the older boys we met last year at the ministry. Even then, we could see his kindness and quiet leadership with the other kids. This year, it is clear how much Felipe's influence has shaped him. Luis is now stepping into his own role of guiding others. He is evidence of a growing kingdom. When you first see what they're doing, it can feel small because of the seemingly pervasive hopelessness within a broken system. Reading with kids, playing games, and delivering food to families are all seeds Laura and Felipe are faithfully planting. One boy who chooses not to join a gang, one girl who grows up knowing she is loved and gifted by God, that's kingdom growth. Jesus said his kingdom is like a mustard seed, small at first, but it grows into something much bigger than we can imagine. On this trip, I realized that when we are awakened to a Christ-like mindset, we can't help but seek justice in the world. It changes how we see the definition of the word neighbor. My neighbors aren't just the people who live on my street in Charleston. They're also the children in Brazil, mothers struggling to feed their families, and friends like Laura and Felipe who are faithfully serving where God has placed them. One of the most striking things I learned is that through steady, patient seed planting, Laura and Felipe have helped three boys leave the gangs. They helped them to follow a different road than most in their community. It is important to understand just how impossible it is to leave gang life. Generally, those who leave don't make it very far. Seeing and being a part of this endeavor was truly miraculous. By embodying God's kingdom, Laura and Felipe changed these lives. We may never see the full results. We can't change the whole system. But the kingdom grows through relationships, through presence, and through telling one child that they are loved by God. That's exactly what the Machias family is doing. Their work is worth every prayer, every mile traveled, and every time we step outside of our comfort zone. So here's what I want you to remember. The kingdom of God is at work in Sao Paulo, in Charleston, and everywhere in between. It's in every act of love, every relationship built, every seed planted, and when we live awakened to Christ in us, we get to be a part of it. Thank you.
Bom dia. Good morning. My name is Ashley Snyder, and I was originally led to join our team from my work teaching Brazilian students just down the road in Berkeley County School District. You may or may not know that just a couple of miles from here, we have a growing and thriving Brazilian population. We are called to be and to make disciples who love God and who love our neighbors. Inspired by Westminster's mission statement, I returned to Sao Paulo for a second time with the idea of looking for evidence of the kingdom through how the Machias family, the people of Brazil, and our team love their neighbors. In the favela, the lighthouse is a place of hope for the children, their caregivers, and even the gang leaders who have been known to send their sons to hear God's word in hopes of a better future. Felipe and Lara's ability to build a relationship and love all community members as neighbors gives them the opportunity to welcome teams like ours. We felt comfortable and safe walking throughout the community alongside Felipe to visit families, deliver food, and pray. These families have very little, but they open their homes to us with welcoming smiles. Last year, our team shared the stark contrast we noticed throughout Sao Paulo, how the luxury is often right next door to what most consider the edge of society. This year, we were invited to visit the home of a couple who are completely renovating their home that is situated right in the heart of the favela. This home is a work in progress, but it's pretty luxurious. When it's finished, it's going to be really beautiful. And this was just the cutest, most welcoming couple ever. I just had to note that. That's not on the script, but they're just amazing. They opened their doors to us, and they showed off every nook and cranny with pride, from their custom floors to their balcony views. They even pulled us into their master bathroom and closet. Like, they were just so proud. It really made me think about how hesitant I can be to let others into my home when everything isn't just so. So maybe a takeaway I had there is that I can be more neighborly in my daily life. Wherever we went, we saw the concept of love your neighbor as yourself in action. We were clearly estrangeiros, foreigners, but it bothered no one. When passing others in the street, everyone says, bom dia, good morning, or boa tarde, good afternoon. When we shopped, and we shopped a little bit, the artisans that we worked with or the store clerks realized we spoke a different language and reacted with such patience and kindness. One of my favorite cultural experiences, because it felt very nostalgic, is we went to a mall. And when you go to a mall in Brazil, you feel like you're back in the 90s because they are thriving. Something that we learned when we got down there, even those of us who were on the second trip, is that it was really cold this year. So we had to go, you know, shopping for some puffy coats and sweatshirts and all the things. When I was checking out at a sporting goods store, it was kind of like a Foot Locker. I started speaking Portuguese a little confidently to the store clerk and then realized, I can't go through with this. And he said, okay, ma'am, so you speak a little Portuguese, I speak a little English. Let's make this easy for you and hard for me. So we continued that transaction in English. For many of us, it was our second trip to Brazil. I will cherish the fellowship time we had at our retreat center, whether it was during our devotion or sharing a delicious meal lovingly made by caretakers Vitor and Maria. We have created a little family who have prayed together, opened up our lives, and shared ideas for future discipleship. Speaking of discipleship, I'd be remiss not to share my favorite moment with the children of the lighthouse. On our final night of ministry, DB's lesson about being a light led the children to learning a new word, disciple, or disciple in Portuguese. So pretty similar. As a multilingual learner teacher and a just language nerd in general, I was really excited to see how close those words were. I was sitting with Ana Clara, who was previously mentioned. She's an older girl who is on the shy side, and her face lit up when we discussed how we can all be disciples and shine our light. What a beautiful moment of promise and hope, and the perfect way to end our time with the children. If you take anything away from my journey, it's that our neighbors expand far beyond geographical proximity. Love and care for your neighbor, whether it's next door, across town, or a continent away. And if you ever feel led to join our Brazil team, be prepared to see Love Thy Neighbor in action. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Great. Good morning. My name is Sonia Willems, and I was lucky enough to go on this wonderful trip with all of these individuals. And I'll start by sharing that I was one of two new people on the trip. Katie was also new with me, so we had each other. But I was inspired, really, to go on this trip after the testimonies of the Brazil team last year. Hearing about the families they met and the encounters that they had, I was so impressed by how much this group was able to do over the course of 1 week. I signed up at kickoff Sunday last year, which again, we're having next week. So if any of you are interested in signing up for Brazil, please feel free to do so next week. And I began studying some elementary Portuguese, hoping to prepare, but really with a trip like this, it was hard to know what to prepare. What were the kids like? Is it really safe to go to the favelas? How can we get past the language barrier? And will I be able to make an impact? You may have many of those questions yourself. I decided to go ahead and let the Spirit guide me, and seeing how almost every member of last year's Brazil team signed up again, it made me feel pretty confident that this was going to be an amazing trip. And this feeling was correct. It was an amazing experience that has impacted me in many ways. I'm going to share a few specific examples, as well as some observations that have been weighing on my heart since our return. So my initial impressions of the Lighthouse, which is Laura and Felipe's ministry, was not necessarily what I was expecting. I was imagining that I would immediately encounter something that gave me this resounding sense of God's presence. And to be honest, I'm not sure that it did, at least initially. And that's funny, because God often works that way. We arrived for the evening class, and I noticed almost immediately that Laura's behavior had shifted, and she seemed a little preoccupied and almost a little bit nervous about something. She opened up the gates and commented the door to get into the ministry and said, if everybody could just make their way in and don't take any pictures outside. So I didn't really think anything of it, not really knowing what to do. We were all really feeling excited to see the kids and also exhausted after a long trip. But we realized later that the drug lords and gang members were hanging out pretty close to where we were right down the road. So she didn't want us to take those pictures or do anything like that. It was sort of alarming, but also we didn't feel overly concerned for ourselves because we were not being bothered or harassed. And once we finished with the children for the evening, we rode home in two cars, and I rode in Felipe's car. As Ashley mentioned, it was a little chilly this trip, and it was in the evening, and we had just come on this long journey from the summer in Charleston, so we were probably not dressed appropriately for how cool it was. And I was riding in the back seat, and the windows were down. So I tried to roll up the window because I was a little chilly. And the windows were locked because he has small children, too, and so he knows how that works. But I noticed afterwards, you know, I thought, you know what, this will be fine. We'll just be a little bit cold as we make our way home. And then it dawned on me that Felipe had purposely ridden us through the town or through the favela with our windows down and drove slowly so that the gang leaders and drug lords could see us in the car with him. And that was actually meant for our protection so that they would know that we were with him because any surprises in a favela could potentially jeopardize Felipe's ministry and our safety. So another observation that made a lasting impression on me was a sweet family that frequents the ministry. The family is made up of several children, but two of the older ones, Samuel and Haisa, were almost daily visitors. Haisa was about 10 years old, and she stood out to me immediately because she was incredibly focused and determined. You could tell that she was a high achiever. She wanted to sit very close to Felipe when he was giving the lesson. She listened intently and participated in all of the activities and crafts. And then she took her time when doing those crafts to make sure that everything was just so. It made me smile because I thought of my daughters. I also have one who is similarly a perfectionist. And then we met Samuel, who was about 11 or 12. He was a whirlwind of energy, a small tornado that would blow through the ministry and try to grab anything and everything he could with a mischievous smile. Several times he actually snuck into Laura and Felipe's cars and honked the horns until they could wrangle him out of there. So that was really entertaining. Felipe said that he is not really a student at the ministry, but he is a visitor. He also shared that Samuel recently got kicked out of school for his behavior, which likely stems from autism or another developmental disorder. So now he's at home with his mom, and he clearly needs full-time care. Over the course of the evening, we found out that Samuel's family had no food in their home. It must have been hard for the mother to mention this to Felipe, but she had no other choice. She had mouths to feed. Felipe and Laura scrambled together some crackers and cookies and sodas that they had at the ministry. That's given to the children typically after their lessons. Hardly a meal and not really what we would consider healthy or nutritious. So it didn't seem like nearly enough, but she was very grateful and very humble. Laura and Felipe explained a little later that this mom struggles to find consistent work due to Samuel's condition. So she does receive a stipend to travel with him to Sao Paulo, which we were in Sao Paulo, but it's such a large city that she had to travel 2 to 3 hours each way, 3 days a week for meetings with doctors for Samuel, and managing a special needs kid who takes up so much energy and requires that full-time care. That's a full-time job in itself. Not to mention that during those times, her other children are often left to fend for themselves and take care of one another. So I reflected on how easy it can sometimes be for us to comment when we see folks who are without a home or without a job. Well, just get a job. It's that easy. And hearing this story, hopefully it resonates with you as well, that for Haisa and Samuel's mom, it is never that simple. So over the course of the trip, we were asked to look for evidence of the kingdom, as you've heard from all of these other wonderful testimonies, and we found plenty. During the mother's tea, Samuel made another visit, and he tried to pour himself a cup of hot tea, which could have scalded him, but the other mothers lovingly cared for him and made sure that he was okay. And it takes a village. We know that as mothers and as parents. It takes a village, and neighbors helping neighbors, that is evidence of the kingdom. Felipe and Laura dedicating their lives to support the families in the favela, who are kind and loving and hopeful parents who want the best for their children and do the best they can in those circumstances. Laura and Felipe are evidence of the kingdom. Sacrificing material comforts that they could have if they lived here in America, by living their faith and trusting God's direction to minister to those families in need. Also, our Westminster Church family, all of you that participated in this mission trip were right alongside with us. Your prayers and financial contributions supported and nourished these families spiritually and physically with care packages to feed a family for a full week. You are evidence of this kingdom. As we begin to form the Brazil team for next year, we ask that you please pray and consider if you would like to be part of this amazing ministry supporting these amazing people. But if traveling 4,000 miles to a foreign country seems a little too much for you, please just at least consider this. There are families in the same situations literally across Cosgrove Bridge, and we have many mission partners that support them, and you can too. As Christians, it is our duty to serve one another, and there are many opportunities to do so right outside our doors. So please consider serving in any capacity that you can. So for an ending, on one of our last days of the trip, part of the team was able to visit a home, the home of Haisa and Samuel's mom. Once they returned, the team shared that despite all odds, Haisa and Samuel's mom still has a dream to own her own home. Realizing that likely will never be a possibility is so heart-wrenching. but also realizing that in the darkest and most challenging situations, hope remains. Hope can guide and keep us moving. That hope is perhaps the most resounding evidence of the kingdom. So my hope for you is that you prayerfully consider supporting this mission next year and see where God leads you. Right, thank you for listening to our testimonies. Please join us now in singing hymn number 767, Together We Serve.